Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is a presentation from our CEO, JL Marti, about pornography and social media addiction and the effect it can have on families. As these are sensitive topics of discussion, listeners' discretion is advised.
The world has been dealing with a pandemic over the last few years. We have all been fighting together to get through it. Hopefully things are getting back to normal. However, as I have some not so good news, which is that there's another ongoing pandemic that is even more lethal, affecting each one of our families. And it's related to pornography addiction and social media addiction. I want to tell you a story about growing up. When I was in seventh grade, we were having supper in the kitchen and the phone rang. My dad answered it and he tone of voice told me that there was something serious going on. He walked into the kitchen and said, "So-and-so is saying that you watch a pornographic movie with some of your friends when we were out of town and you were left in at the house." And I said, "What? Dad, I don't know what you're talking about." And my dad looked at me and said, "Okay." He went back to the phone, talked to that person, said, "He says he wasn't there. I believe him." In fact, there had been an incident with some people in my grade, and that got sorted out later on. But that's not the point. The point is that my dad believed me right away, and the point is that I wasn't involved. And to this day, I thank my dad every day for his showing me the way not to have been there to watch that movie. Now, if you backtrack a little bit more, when I was in fourth grade and I looked at the science book on human anatomy, and I went to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, there is the male organ and there is the female organ. How do they get together?" And my dad said, "Okay, let's go to this room." And then he told me when we were one-on-one how it happened. And I couldn't believe it. I was disgusted. I was like, "What? This is what you told me all these years, not to ever watch on TV, and you know that this is bad and people shouldn't do that and that kind of thing." And so I was a bit shocked. The next day, I went to my mom and said, "Mom, Dad told me this about how babies are made. Is that true? And isn't that bad?" And my mom, she was washing the dishes, and I remember exactly, it was pink gloves in her hands. Remember the room. She told me, "No, that's the way it is. And it's a very good thing. God wants that. God wants that every child is made a special embrace between husband and wife." Anyway, I'm telling you this story because I have been dealing over 34 years with counseling and talking to young children. And I have many horror stories that I want to share with you today so that we learn from them. And the good news is that we're learning and we're doing things better. But I think we have to be on our toes because, like I said, this is a real pandemic and it's not going away, unfortunately. So I can tell you stories, for example, of boys in junior high, even earlier than that, in fourth grade, going to a debate team with their school, staying in a motel, and some of them putting on the R-rated or X-rated channel, and then they not knowing what to do, not walking out, and getting hooked on pornography right there and then. I can tell you about a boy who was taken by his peers to the local bookstore, to the adult section, and they showed him pictures that are indecent and that kind of thing. In sixth grade or fourth grade, and got hooked onto pornography as well. The huge curiosity was just sparked, and a pornography addiction ensued from that. So this is what used to happen before. This is like 10, 15 years ago, right? Right now, this is happening every day, almost unperceived by the world, in the bedrooms, in the homes of our families, with the cell phone, with the video console, with the tablet. This is what I want to talk to you about. Unfortunately, these situations are related not to families out there who perhaps are so busy with worldly things that they don't have time to think about this. These are happenings and facts that have happened in families like yours. Families who are watching this video, families who are making this video, families who are very involved in their parent, in their children's moral upbringing, who want to their kids to be happy and to know what the truth is and to follow the good. If you don't take my word for it, watch the documentary Childhood 2.0. It's free and it's really available on the internet. If you want to watch even the 2-minute trailer, that's maybe enough. There is a 1.5-hour documentary explaining what I'm talking about. Now, I don't want to talk to you about only that. I want to tell you about the good news. The good news is some families have been able to dodge the bullet. Some families have been able to, despite being attacked and exposed to pornography and social media and so on, they have been able to somehow walk through those years, you know, from, I would say, from 2 to 18 unscathed. And I want to tell you their secret. I want to tell you what they have done that, in my opinion, has made them successful in this fight. By the way, just 2 statistics so that you can believe what I'm talking about and know the importance of what I'm talking about. The first one is the average age of the boy who is exposed to pornography is 11 years old. And this is a few years ago. So by now, it might be even younger. Another statistic for you. The depression among girls has skyrocketed in the last 5 years to 26%. Depression of girls, especially teenage girls, has skyrocketed in the last years with the inception of the cell phone and social media. I mean, we can, sociologists and psychologists, see this trend perfectly clear. The good news is that we are exposing the risks better, like with this documentary that I just told you about, Childhood 2.0, and we are also learning to heal addictions better. Even after a person, a boy, a girl, an adult, falls into pornography and pornography addiction, because the point with pornography is that it's like a drug, okay? If there's a switch that is turned on and it's very hard to turn off, but we are finding ways to process the addiction, to help the person over some time, even though it becomes a lifetime struggle. I have seen that many times. So the secret that I was telling you about, these families that have dodged the bullet, is related to prevention. Okay, it's sort of like a vaccine that there is for pornography addiction, for social media addiction, that they have practiced with their children, in their families. And it has 2 components. The number one component and the most important one is conversations between the parents and the children about human love and sexuality in the context of a real friendship between parents and children. The second component is limiting exposure to screens. Both in tandem will help families, your family, to navigate this difficult pandemic of social media, cell phones, screens, pornography, and so on. I will tell you that one of them by itself, if it is very high, it's almost enough. If you have a strong enough friendship with your children and you are talking with them and there's communication and conversations and you're forming your children's conscience over time, from all that period, from the time they start talking until 18, but actually it starts even at 0, and I'll explain that. from 0 to 18, critical years, those families that have that strong connection and have these conversations have a much better success rate of not having their children fall into pornography, social addiction, other types of depression associated with social media. But you don't have to have a perfect friendship and conversation with your kid. It has to be good enough, and also have a good enough limit to exposure, knowing how to treat screens in your house. And I'm going to talk to you about these two means that people are using, the vaccine against pornography addiction. And I'm going to share with you strategies for increasing in those. Let's start with limiting exposure to screens, all right? So it's very important to know what. So we're talking about cell phones, smartphones, we're talking about tablets, iPads, video consoles, personal computers, we're talking about desktops, anything that has screens and is connected to the internet. I'm sure in the future, there will be even more of them. Probably it become smartwatches, it'll become even appliances at home that have a connection and a screen. So all of these things, I just call them screens. You need to know whose they are, where they are. Is it their neighbors? Is it their uncles? Is it the schools and they're using it? Because many schools are now requiring laptops, iPads, and so on and so forth. So to be aware, there is a very good website to take an inventory. It's called a household inventory survey that will tell you whether or not you are at risk of inviting pornography into your home. It's called, the website is protectyoungeyes.com. I suggest it's free. You can take the test and you can use the information there. It has a lot of information about what screens are, what each application app in the phone does, and how they have a browser or not, how to use it and so on. How to set up a filter. A good suggestion for this exercise is, because if you go home and start, hey kids, for now on, we're not gonna use cell phones, we're not gonna use screens, forget it, it's bad, you're gonna have a World War III at your house. I would rather suggest that you have a conversation with your children. Sometimes a good way to start that conversation is to watch something like the Netflix. Actually, yes, I'm recommending here watching a Netflix documentary. Sometimes these things are very useful and the use of technology is good. We have to acknowledge that. It's only when people who want to manipulate us and make money of our weaknesses and vices and your children's weaknesses and vices that it becomes a problem. But watch the Netflix documentary Social Dilemma. Watch it with your kids. This one is good to watch with your kids. I don't recommend that you watch Childhood 2.0 with your kids. That one you should watch on your own with your spouse. And then after you watch the Social Dilemma on Netflix, have a conversation with them about screens. Of course, the number one thing is going to be your own example. How do you use screens? You cannot demand or ask them to do something that you're not doing yourself. So this is a good exercise for self-restraint and self-control for us adults. And this is something I deal with every day. I have to be careful how much time I spend on my phone watching my favorite sports team video or checking the news that I want to be able to be informed about and so on and so forth. The second area is transparency. I think it's a very good thing for building up that trust and confidence that you have transparency in the use of technology at home. That's sometimes it may mean, here's my cell phone, I don't care if you look at it, that you tell that to your child, because you also want your child to tell that to you. And make some house rules with your children about how to use technology. Again, you have to involve them in making those rules. You have to explain to them why you are suggesting something. You have to get their input into them and then get them to buy into them. It's a fundamental question of who needs screens at home, what for, and when. One very important time of the day is the nighttime. It's important that nighttime internet is down in your house, that they don't have access, either because the service is down, because you turn it off, but also their cell phones, that they leave their cell phones and all the other gadgets that have Wi-Fi access, somewhere outside their bedroom, somewhere perhaps in a common room where everybody charges their iPhones or smartphones. And then finally, actually related to nighttime, it's also think about the times when they're at home alone. It's a very important time of the day when they're alone. Think that this thing is going to attack them at their weakest point. And the weakest point is usually when we are alone. So if they come home from school and parents are out, if they are left alone at home on a weekend and parents go out, that is a time to think about what's going on with the internet and access to the internet for my child. And then finally, it filters. You know, it's a good thing to have a filter in your Wi-Fi service, not because it is going to protect them from everything, but it will protect them from unwanted solicitation that is going on a lot. Let's switch topics now and talk about how to have those conversations with your child in the context of friendship. I think that really what's going on is that perhaps the parents and the dads of those dads did not talk to them about this, and therefore they don't know how to approach the topic. They don't know what to say. And even perhaps they don't have the emotional connection with their children to talk about the issue. This is something that research has shown, actually, that the number one reason why parents feel uncomfortable talking to their children about human love, sexuality, how babies are made, pornography, all of these issues, is because they don't feel close to them enough. But this is actually kind of a paradox, because the more you talk to your kids about human love and sexuality, the more you talk to your kids about how babies are made, the more your kids are going to love you and be friends with you and have all kinds of confidences with you. So it's actually, even though there's a fear of what to say and when to say and how to say it, after you do it, no matter how you do it, no matter how badly you do it, you can always do it better than the internet, which is where people are going to find out how babies come into the world, how your children are going to find out if you don't tell them, either from the internet, which is now the number one source of information about sex, isn't that crazy, or their peers. And you can do a better job than both of them, right? And then actually, I want to give you three pointers in how to connect emotionally with your children, because this is related to this topic. This is kind of Parenthood 101, but just a quick reminder that the way to connect emotionally with your children is, number one, looking them in the eye. Number two, having and giving them undivided attention. And number three, having some physical contact with them. In fact, a pediatrician that I know very well just told me a few days ago, there is a new study published in a professional journal of medicine that says that a study was done of dads who spend 15 minutes a day of skin-to-skin contact with newborns for 3 days after they are born have shown to have much better outcomes later on for both the dads and the children than people who do not do that. So physical contact, undivided attention, a few times a day when you drop what you're doing because your child is asking you a question. Even if you are talking to an adult, even if you're reading the newspaper, very interested in watching the news, or even working very focused, you can tell the child, hey, we'll talk more about that later. But your reaction is not a rejection, but actually trying to accommodate his curiosity, his interest, whatever he needs you for. And the first one that we talked about is eye contact. Sometimes we make eye contact with your children only when you are mad at them, and this is a very bad thing. I mean, it's kind of natural, but make sure you make eye contact also when they're talking to you, when they're explaining to you something important to them, when they're telling you something that they're very happy about, or when you're telling them something that you are very interested or very happy about. And finally, I want to tell you the number one reason, again, why dads don't talk to their kids about sex is because they don't know what to say. Well, now there is no excuse. Because I have in my hands Kane Abok's tips for talking to your children about sexuality. And this is, it's a booklet that you can read in 45 minutes. It costs a few dollars, but it is priceless. I mean, to me, this booklet can save the world, can save our families from utter destruction if you just read it and try to practice what is said here. It's not rocket science. It gives you the language, it gives you the questions, it gives you the insights. I think that you not only need to read it, but you need to give it to your best friends if you really care for them, and make this booklet very well known. So remember, it's going to be an adventure getting your kids to be adults and successful young adults, happy. It will be the work, your work for many years to come. But it's something that you are not alone. It's something that people are thinking about. They want to help you in the resources I just told you about. And at the end, it's such a joy to think back of my dad and that conversation I had with him when I was in seventh grade. And right away, he believed me because he knew who I was, because he had taught me who to be. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.